good subject. What's the best Lunchable?
Oh, that's easy. It's the turkey cheddar. I mean, if we're talking traditional Lunchables, right? Like,
because we're talking about
starting to add in like the pizza ones.
Does
like
pizza come into play here?
Yes, that's a Lunchable.
I never got to have Lunchables. My mom would not buy them for me because she said they were too expensive, and I got sent to school with the
What kind of impression do you have to not even earn a Lunchable? You're not even worth a Lunchable.
I'm just saying how it was, man. Times were tough. Big John got laid off, you know?
I get it.
We only had the budget for buttock meat. I got little Debbie's, though.
I
wonder why I was overweight.
I would say that probably half my diet growing up was Lunchables.
So Chase, you said the turkey pizza cheddar.
Ones were amazing. Yeah, turkey cheddar. Here's the problem, though. Okay, here's the issue that I had. The turkey cheddar had the best cheese and the best meat, but the worst crackers. The ham and Swiss had the inferior cheese and the inferior meat, but the crackers were way better.
What was the difference in the crackers?
One was wheat. Yeah, and then the other.
That's bullshit.
It's also strange that I think that they screwed up a few things there. I think that cheddar should have been with ham and Swiss should have been with turkey.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. Ham and Swiss is like, that's classic.
Turkey Swiss, also very good.
Ham and cheddar,
I
mean, baby.
I get ham and cheddar, but turkey cheddar just made more sense.
And did you get, when you got a Lunchable, did you get the combo box that had the candy and the drink, or did you get the square? Or did you get the rectangle?
I have had both.
If I ever got one, it was always the square because that was the cheaper one.
Yeah. I think I had way more squares in my life.
I think Jude has eaten more Lunchables in a week than I had my entire.
What's the worst Lunchable you've had?
The nacho ones. The nacho ones were fucking garbage.
Yeah, nacho.
Tiny like dime sized nacho chips.
Yeah.
The cheese was terrible. Like it was cold. Like I guess you're supposed to heat them up. Like it's fucking terrible. Absolutely the worst.
You're eating it in a school cafeteria.
I know.
Also, it's in plastic that you can't microwave.
No one thought about it.
I got the chicken nugget one for Jude one time, and he said it was disgusting.
That doesn't compute.
He's a chicken nugget connoisseur.
I know that, but I didn't know that they made a new type of Lunchable.
It's just cold chicken nugget.
Get out of here.
I only got Lunchables for track meets back in the day, and I remember if there could have been like an image to kind of date me and all this, I was listening on a burnt CD of Rob Zombie.
Good start. Yeah.
Eating a Taco Bell taco Lunchable. And this was the most foul, cursed concoction to ever touch these lips. It was a fucking plastic tube of Taco Bell meat that you had to squeeze out onto.
Yep. I had those. Those were also bad.
They were very bad. That's a cold taco. And then I was supposed to run after eating it.
Running.
I was running.
Guys, I'm going to need both of you to go to Lunchables.com.
Lunchables.biz.
It is an amazing website that you can kind of see based on the color of my
Here, hang on a second. Let me see if I can do this right. Is this gonna work?
So it's the screen's broken into halves. One is yellow, one is red, one says kids, the other says parents, and then in the top left corner, which I absolutely love, it just says this is advertising.
This is advertising.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're trying to tell the kids, like, "Hey, this is an."
Is an ad. Yeah, let me see if I can pull it up here.
But I just love that it says this is advertising. Yeah, like hell yeah, there you go, so good. And then if you hover over one of the things, it starts to take up more of the screen. I'm gonna click parents, see what happens.
I went with kids.
There's a lot of varieties.
Lunch a build this, baby.
These kids don't know how good they have it.
No. All right,
let's see. I have gone to Lunchables products. We see ham and cheddar. Holy shit, they did it, Bobby. They did the thing for you. They switched it.
They know.
And the second thing here is nachos with cheese dip. So you know what? They haven't done it.
At all. What about, can I get it on? I'd have to let me see if I can do this really quick. Hang on a second. The light screen is
bologna clipped. And American.
Reset transfer. There we go. Now this is pod racing. Look at this fucking thing. They've got a rocket ship made out of Lunchables and Oreos. I would have said, shove that right down my gullet.
Hey, the ham and American, it just says no image.
Yeah, that's about right.
Hey, let's start building. You want to make a fire hydrant? Here's your fucking blueprint. You want to make a scooter? Gross. Here you go. The rocket? Holy shit. Listen. We're gonna make a stream where we build these things, these cursed fucking Nintendo Labo Lunchables. Nintendo Labageable? What would that be?
Just stop it.
I don't like this at all.
It'd be Lunch a Labo and
Lunch a Labo. Look at this guy, Robert the Builder. You think that you can fuck with Lunchables? Let me show you what Bobby the Builder can do with that car. Fuck me. Come on.
All right, before we get completely off this, I would like to ask, has anyone here had a Dunkaroo before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. They started remaking them.
They stopped? When did they stop?
Yeah, they stopped for years.
Stop making the best cookie snack?
I was so precious about eating a Dunkaroo that I rationed the frosting on the first at least.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, and then the last one, because my fucking Porky Pig fingers were so big as a kid, I would try and I would save the circle Dunkaroo.
You use the pinky.
No, you fucking jam it in there and just scoop it out all of it. Yes, my fucking index finger was a John Deere backhoe when it came to Dunkaroos.
I was rationing the whole thing.
God.
With the cookies and like just little bits because just wanted to get to that point where I was like, all right,
pure frosting,
finger like dipping that, and that's all me, baby.
Yeah, I was all in, in.
Man,
God,
chat's right. Like those used to be so good, and now if you tried to give me one of those, I would throw it in the trash immediately.
I had an idea, and I'm going to just say it on the internet now, and it'll probably be stolen. I'm not going to do it, but I have an idea of going back to the snacks that made me, the Little Debbies, the Lunchables, the Dunkaroos, and making a line of knockoff copycat THC infused, like Gushers being like a gummy edible, and like, I think that there's a market there. If somebody hasn't tapped into it, like the Kool-Aid
to nostalgic millennials like ourselves,
I would be popping Gushers. Give me that 20 milli vanilli Gusher, please.
See, I thought you were going a different way, which I also think is a good idea, is to make like adult themed Lunchables with like,
that's just called girl dinner.
Yeah. Sure. But like the idea of like using higher quality ingredients or whatever.
So. Better ingredients, better pizza.
Exactly.
Papa John's.
I just made this Lunchables out of boar's head meat.
God. All right. I will make that for you, Chase, for your Bertney. Oh, hang on a second. Bertney. I saw chat and I got fucking flabbergasted.
I don't have one of those. I'm sorry.
Gummy nerds. For your birthday this year, I will make you an adult Lunchable.
Okay.
Great. Count it.
I'm looking forward to it.
This is.
Gummy nerds. I remember like the nerds rope that has like a gummy.
Well, there was nerds gum too, though, for a while.
I don't remember nerds that at gum? All. That Wonka man, he's insane.
He's busy.
This podcast is off the rails.
This is a video game podcast called The Casual Hour. This is episode 339. It is August 17th. You're probably wondering if you're watching this live. Hang on, this is Thursday. Hang on, you all had a podcast yesterday. We did, that's true. If you're listening to this, we hope the future is treating you nice. We are recording this in the past. And tonight is what you've been playing. We didn't talk about any games last night. We talked about on our deep dive into the Video Game of the Year book by Jordan Miner. That was a great time. But tonight, we've got a lot to discuss with games we're playing and with the news around them. And I don't know if my glasses are wrong, but Chase has video games to talk about.
I do want to say, though, you are listening in the future. If you're listening to this and not watching us right now, you know, it's fine because there's no big games that are coming out this week when you're listening to this. It's not like any sort of kind of core that's been armored would have just recently released. There's no way something like that would have happened. So
are you gonna play that, or are you just waiting for Starfield?
I have never been waiting for Starfield, nor will I wait for Starfield.
Starfield waits for no man. Armored Core 6. By the time we get back together to talk about video games, that will be a thing. We'll have opinions. But yeah, that's super exciting. I keep forgetting. But Chase, enough of that. You've been playing things.
Yep.
Let's get into it. What is up first for you?
Up first, let's talk about what happened a couple weeks ago. We spun a wheel, and it landed on a certain game called AI: The Somnium Files. Part of my backlog roulette, which we do every monthly preview episode. We spin the wheel and see what game I'm gonna play or try. I believe I said at the original rules that I would try all of these games.
No, I think you said you'd beat them, but well,
I did not say I would beat them. I absolutely
you said you'll play them and write up on them. Well, yeah, you said those things, but go on.
Yeah, but I very purposely did not say I would beat them. Anyway, I started playing AI: The Somnium Files. I don't like that game. I just don't.
Great. One last thing to have to fucking worry about.
So it's a adventure game, mystery stuff. There's a murdered girl.
It's a murder mystery.
Yes, it is a murdered mystery.
Is it a dinner theater?
It has really good reviews.
It has great reviews. People like this game. I am not one of these people. It's
that tracks.
I have a couple of issues. One, this is going to sound weird coming from me, the anime guy. It's a little too horny. It's a little too horny, huh? You've got like an eye. Like your main character is missing an eye.
Yeah.
And they have an artificial eyeball put into their head that also has AI. I believe that is the AI in the AI Somnium Files. And the AI is normally just an eye, but then sometimes it's an anime lady, and like she shows up in your dreams, which I believe they call Somnium, which is again where the Somnium Files comes from. And you have to like navigate around these puzzle boxes with your anime girl. But the guy,
and you don't like this?
No, because the protagonist is just being shitty and weird the whole time. It's not, I don't love that interaction with them. I don't know. It's just, it's not
doing it for you.
No, I mean the mystery stuff is okay. It's got like, you have your AI that can also, like change vision sure. modes, and you can zoom into stuff and use heat vision to be able to look inside things. And it can analyze and hack stuff for you. It's fully voice acted. I think the voice acting is fine. I don't like the writing, but the voice acting's fine. There'll be some times where you have to kind of go through these dialogue trees and then kind of go through them again to get to the answers that you are looking for, to be able to progress things. And I find that to be a little tedious, which is going to be ironic when I talk about another game here in a second. I wasn't clicking with a lot of the things in there. I'm sure I completely understand that other people might like this game. It definitely has more of a feeling of like a grasshopper style game. Who are the people I'm thinking of? Like, is it
I don't know. Who are you thinking of?
I mean, like the Travis Touchdown stuff, the No More Heroes.
Oh, got it.
It feels a little bit more into that. It feels a little bit more like Deadly Premonition. It's not exactly either of those things, but it's kind of in that realm. And I just haven't given a shit about those games. I know they're kind of culty hits, but that's just not where I'm coming from. It also is stealing again from a lot of those things. It's taking from Twin Peaks, and I have never been a Twin Peaks person. I know that is a very beloved show for a lot of people, and I just don't care. Any of that Pacific Northwest shit is kind of misses me. And this seems to, I mean, it's not set in the Pacific Northwest, but again, it's pulling from ideas from Twin Peaks, and I just...
Is it like if David Lynch made it or made a
no, because he would do it visual. He would do it better.
That's you know, Control. Much if better. You've played Control, that's what that game is.
Yeah. And again, that's also why I don't really care about Control, because it is still kind of set in that area and is also pulling from that Twin Peaks stuff, which is just not something that's ever appealed to me. So I decided for the first time ever with the Backlog Roulette Wheel that I was going to put this one down. And instead, I was going to come up with a replacement game.
Am I the only one that cares about the rules around here?
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
What the hell?
This to is be a fair, to be this fair, is... I'm completely going with the rules that I established at the very beginning, where I said I could play other games on the wheel whenever I wanted to. I just had to try.
It's the only game rules that they're convenient wheel. For you.
You can go back. We can go back to the footage. I've seen that clip a billion times, so I can tell you exactly what it says. So what I did, I wanted to try to find a game that was similar to AI, the Somnium Files, but might be something a little bit more in my wheelhouse. So I decided that I would play the Famicom Detective Club game/games. They're much shorter, too. It's like, hey, this game's 7 hours instead of the 27 hours AI, the Somnium Files is going to be.
Sure.
So this is also a mystery game, detective style game. But these are remakes of the NES Famicom Detective Club games that we didn't even get over here. They were, as the name implies, Famicom games. So they were Japan only. But these two games, it's Famicom Detective Club. The Missing Heir is the first game. And then the girl who
stands behind.
Yeah, that's
the girl who stands behind.
Yeah, that's the second game, which is actually a prequel to the first game. So I ended up deciding to load up The Missing Heir and see what that game is like. And I'm liking it a lot more than AI, the Somnium Files. I think it has a better tone to it.
Does it feel old?
It does. It really does. And. Yep. It doesn't look old. Like
I get it.
Completely redone the graphics. There is voice acting, but it is all Japanese. There is. It does have some modern touches, but the biggest issue I'm having right now is a very similar thing to what I said in AI, the Somnium Files, which is you have to go down these same kind of conversation trees a number of times because sometimes the person will say a different thing, or they'll say. They'll have another thing they can say about a person. So you get a menu that says talk. And so, okay, I hit talk with I'm speaking to this person and it gives me a range of options. I can talk about this woman, Kiku, who is the original person who died and who you're investigating for. So I can say, okay, about Kiku. And they'll tell me a little something about Kiku. Oh, yeah, you know, she was my aunt. She did this, blah, blah, blah. She was the head of this company. Great. Okay. Then I go to the next thing, which is about, I don't know, this key, and then they'll say, oh, I've never seen that key before, and okay, whatever. So I've just run down the full list, and once you run down the full list, you're like, okay, I'm done, right? But it doesn't give you an option to do anything else. Sometimes it'll pull up a new option that'll say travel, and you can go to a new place, or you can call in a new person and talk to them instead. Those are the things that move the story along. But sometimes it just kind of spits you back out to that menu and goes, I don't know, try something else again. So I'll then go down those options again of like, okay, tell me about Kiku. And they'll just give me like this kind of one line phrase that sums up the last thing they said about Kiku. And then it just spits me back out again. I go, okay, I guess that wasn't the one I was supposed to say. So then I go, okay, tell me something more about that key.
I'm getting a lot of the remake that you and I tried to play a few months ago, Ogre Tactics or Tactics
Ogre Reborn. Tactics Ogre,
yeah. And while they did enhance it visually, it just felt old. And
yeah,
that was not that I think there's something to be said about playing something that feels old that is masked in nostalgia versus trying to play something from that era for the first time without any reverence or remembrance or love that you used to have for. I think that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I will. Again, though, I'm enjoying playing this game. It's just that it is frustrating that it has these moments of it even seems like they've thought about this and then purposely didn't do the thing that you'd want them to do, because there are some times where someone will say something, there'll be a music cue like, oh shit, they said a thing that's really going to break this case wide open. And then something yellow pops up on your menu and it's like, okay, that's the one that's going to tell me, like, now I've got to do this. And now I've got to ask them this question about this thing because we're on the right track. Or it says travel and it's like, wow, they just gave me this option to travel to this new place that I've never gone to and it's yellow. Okay, that's the next thing I got to do. But then there'll be those other times where I've just asked my list of questions and then it spits me back out and everything's still white. So any question could be a good one. And then it's just kind of, it feels random to be like, oh, I had to ask them about that key twice, because then they'll say a little bit of extra stuff about that key. And then that will lead me to the next thing that I need to do. So you're never going to get lost. You just keep going through the list of questions and then you go through the list of questions again. And, you know, eventually you will hit on that stuff. But it does feel like, wow, you had a system in there to tell you when you need to choose another option and you just didn't use it for this situation for no reason. Yeah. So that part's a little frustrating, but I do think the music's good. I think the visual stuff that's in there is nice. I like the drawings of the characters. The voice acting is in Japanese, but they seem to be fine. There's a lot more motion than I expected. I thought this was just going to really be a visual novel, but there is a number of times where they've, you know, opened a door and like there's a complete animation of a door opening. I'm like, that's odd. That doesn't feel like what I'm expecting here. Sure. So I'm having a decent time. And also I know it's only going to be 7 hours. I'm already on chapter 3 and I think there are only like 9, 10, 11 chapters, something like that. So little bit that I've played of it, I'm already making a lot of progress and feeling really good about it. Whereas with AI, the Somnium Files, I was talking to an idol named Aset, and this guy who's kind of halfway stalking her and halfway white knighting for her, and it was cringy and bad. So I'm having a lot more fun going through a mansion and talking to people who are very knives out about, like, oh, the big matriarch died of this company and this mansion, and who's going to get the money, and who stands to gain the most from her dying. Nice. and solving that mystery. So that's been a lot more fun.
Cool.
So I think what I'm going to end up doing, I will still write about AI, the Somnium Files, and I will probably write it in comparison to Famicom Detective Club. And then I get to cross two games off the wheel. So I kind of did more than I was asked to.
Do you want extra credit? It.
Yeah, wow. I think so. I think I deserve like a little bonus.
Sure, we can arrange that. It depends on how quickly we get through the next two, but we'll consider a bonus for you there.
All right, I'll try to rush through the next two. One is I finally decided to start playing that Fire Emblem Engage DLC, the Fel Xenologue.
I have papaya.
You know what? I haven't seen or talked to Yunaka at all since I came back, and it's been fine. It's been fine. I did pick up the other two DLC characters that I hadn't, or not characters, the other two DLC bracelets, the engage units that you got as DLC, which was Crom and Robin as one from Fire Emblem Awakening. And then the other one was, who was the other one? I don't remember.
You're not going to hear it from me.
Yeah, I figured I wouldn't hear it from you. I don't think it was Camilla. I think I already had Camilla. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so I played through those and picked up those bracelets. And then I then went into the Fel Xenologue, which is interesting. They do give you two new playable characters who are also Fel dragons, but it's kind of a topsy-turvy world that you go into where the Fel dragons are actually the one trying to protect the four kingdoms, and it's some other people who are fucking things up. So you're like, oh, these people I was kind of fighting from the original game, now they're kind of my friends, like Zephia. I don't know if you guys remember Zephia. She had like the big horns, and she rode a dragon.
Yes.
She was one of the enemies. Now she's one of your friends.
Okay.
All right. And that seems like a thing.
It's the same for the other four hounds, I believe. Like Mavier and I forgot her name, like the little lolly girl who was in big armor. So like those are now playable friendly units. whereas they weren't before. I guess Mavi or you'd eventually get, but so that's kind of cool. Also, they kind of strip you down. So one of the weird things with DLCs, especially for like a Fire Emblem game, is that you've built up your team so much. Like I have this team of fucking killers because everyone's just so good at what they do. And in the Fel Xenolog chapters, of which I think there are only like 11 or something, 12 maybe, there aren't a ton of chapters. Maybe it's even shorter than that. Maybe it's like six. What they do is they try to give you some different combat puzzles where you can only have a Leer and like one other character that you get to choose, and then you get the two twin Fel dragons and then like a bonus character or something. And I think the different missions, they give you different combinations of characters and things like that, but you don't get to bring in your full set of murderers. And even the characters you do bring in, they have a strict set of equipment that they get just for this thing. You don't get to bring in all your cool weapons that you've been crafting and enhancing the whole time. So it does make these maps a little bit more strategic because you don't just get to bring in all that stuff. It's also a little bit lame. It reminds me of the Fallout 3 DLC, like those early ones, like Operation Anchorage and the Pit, where you'd go into these things and they completely strip your character of all their stuff, and you could only use the stuff that they give you for that complete side mission, and then eventually you could come back to the main game and maybe you get like a bonus weapon or something.
That's a bold move.
So it feels a little meaningless. Sure. In that same way, because like nothing I'm doing, I'm not gaining XP for any of these characters. I'm not leveling up things. I'm not making anything better. But eventually, once you beat that stuff, you get those two Fel Dragon characters to come back and be on your main team. And you might even get like Zephia and the other characters to show up, too. So it's neat, but it's not exactly what I'm looking for. I think what I'd rather do at this point is just play a brand new Fire Emblem game and have that zero to hero,
that journey again.
That journey. That I really, that's the whole reason I like Fire Emblem, is going from that zero to hero. Mm-hmm. So to have a thing that's just like, oh, well, these are all kind of like combat don't matter. And yes, you get a little bit of story and eventually you'll get this stuff, but you kind of just need to play through this crap. I think it's better than if I just had to play a whole set of fuck hard levels because all my guys are these trained assassins. I think it's better than that, but it's still not exactly what I'm looking for. So it's fine. It's just not what I was wanting.
Not what you're hoping for.
Yeah, it was cool to go back and see Lapis again. It's like, Lapis, fuck, you're so rad. You've got a killing edge. You crit all the fucking time. You're so good. So some of that's okay. One last thing. They also did a patch. I don't think this is DLC specific, but they did a patch, and now you don't have to go to the ring room anymore. You remember when you had to go to the ring room to do like your skills? Now you can do that from the arena thing in the thing. So there's two less loading screens you have to go to now every time you go back to the Somnial.
Hey, so quality of life stuff. I'll take it.
Plus, that's the best thing. That's the best thing they could have added to that game. They took out two whole loading screens.
Oh yeah,
beautiful, beautiful stuff. And then the last one, I've only played about an hour of, so I really don't have much to say. But that Marble It Up Ultra, which was a like an updated DLC / whole new release of Marble It Up, which I think was a 2018 game. 18. That came out today. I picked it up. I played some of it. It's good. It's just good. Nice. It's fun to roll your little marble around, and they've got some fun challenge stuff in there. There's a lot of momentum based things that are really cool. I really like the sound design of the marble itself. In fact, I really need to turn down the music because I just like the little ricochet sounds from the marble, and it has that sound as it's rolling, where it's like if you ever like watch a Rube Goldberg video and you see the marble like rolling on these tracks, oh, and yeah. you just hear that kind of rolling sound. It's like they've nailed that stuff. That's all real, real good. One of the things that I was having an issue with, it felt like it was really tight on the jump. Like your marble has a jump button, which is a little weird, but that hop that you can do, it has no kind of buffer zone to it, which feels a little bad. Like you know, in a lot of platforming games, they have kind of that coyote time where mm-hmm. you're off the ledge, but it gives you like a quarter of a second to still hit yeah. the jump button and still make the jump. This doesn't seem to have any of that. It seems really, really precise. So there are times where I have to jump up two sets of stairs, and I hit the jump on the first one, and I try to hit jump for the second one, and it doesn't jump. And then I just hit the stair and ricochet back. I go, that didn't feel too good. And then they give me a tutorial tip at one point on one of the levels that says, just hold the jump button, you stupid fuck. The game buffers itself, where you just hold the jump button, and as soon as you touch the ground, it auto jumps at the very first second it can. So it's less, I mean, there's still timing to it, but it's less about getting the tap right and more about making sure that things are set up in a way that when I hold the button, I'm jumping on the right things. And it feels great, and it's good. It's so good. I'm having such snap of, yeah, you know, it's cool, but the jump kind of feels weird too. I get it. I understand. Nice, it's, man. It's great. I'm having a great yeah. time with that. I'm telling myself that I'm just getting golds on everything. There's a diamond tier that feels a little bit like Neon White, in that gold tier is like, if you play the level they meant for you to play and you just play it well, you'll get the gold. But if you break the level in a little bit of a way, which they've kind of accounted for, then you can get the diamond. And I was big into Neon White, of wanting to get those platinums or diamonds or whatever, and figuring out, oh, how am I supposed to break the stage to do this? And this one, I'm just having a lot of fun playing it the way that it's intended. So I think I'm just fine going through all golds. I went through two chapters so far. There are four chapters. I don't know. There's a number of chapters, but then there's also a number of bonus chapters. And I think it comes out to 8 total.
Cool.
So I got through a decent amount of the game, but I also got through a decent amount of the early game. So I'm sure things will get more difficult. Also similar to Neon White, it is really cool that even when you go through and you're just going for speed, you'll notice these little unlockable pickups that are in a weird corner of the map or on top of a bridge. And you go, how the fuck would I even get over there? And then you play it again and you go, OK, I don't care about time. I'm just going to try to platform it up and get to that spot. And I've been doing a couple of those. And then you unlock like new skins for the marble or new trails for the marble. So I unlocked like a smoke trail that comes off my marble now. I haven't unlocked any hats yet. There's
hats.
They made hats for the marble. Like the one that you start with that you can get is an axe. So there's just an axe stuck in the marble.
That makes sense.
Also appears to be like dragon masks and top hats and other bullshit that you can put on the marble. I don't believe that affects the physics in any way. It shouldn't. That would be very, very dumb. But I think that game's cool. Like it looks good. It plays pretty solidly on the Switch. But I assume it plays real nice and smooth on a more powerful console.
Sure.
But I'm having a good time with it. I think that's a cool one, and I'm glad I ponied up the money for it, because I've been having a lot of fun.
Awesome, man. Glad to see that you like video games again. That's always nice.
Sometimes.
Well, I will try and get through some of these pretty quick for us, Johnny. I want to first talk to you all about Black Skylands, a game that we talked about on a monthly preview. This just hit early access on August 15th. It is being developed by Hungry Couch Games and put out by Tiny Build.
Didn't realize it was early access.
It was early access for a really long time. It just came out.
It just came out of early. I see.
Okay. Yep. It's currently on sale on Steam for $17.99. Otherwise, it'll set you back $19.99. This is a top-down pixel-based game in the spirit of like a it plays a lot, not necessarily on one hit, one kill like a Hotline Miami, but it is a twin stick shooter. It is kind of steampunk pirating, but you are on ships that are flying through the air. There's some supernatural stuff that has taken place in the game, of course. And the game is really centered around collecting resources. You've got three weapon slots, but I didn't realize that you have abilities also. And so you are unlocking abilities and you are upgrading your gear. I haven't encountered
What counts as an ability? Like what's an example of an ability?
There's all kinds. You can do like a lightning storm. I haven't unlocked that yet. Currently, I have this flame turret that comes up and it's doing area of effect attacks around me. So I kind of kite the enemies into that area because the AI is pretty aggressive. And you do take some hits. You can pick up health upgrades. One of the things I do like is you have a melee ability. And if you finish off anybody with your melee, which is just a knife swipe, it's not anything like a victory kill or anything like that. It's a very quick action. So if you get them lowered on their health with one of your guns and you kill them with a melee ability, they drop ammunition or health. And that's always nice because there are multiple ammo types. I'm currently using a bow. I have a sniper rifle and I have a shotgun. And then I have my knife and you have a really slick grappling gun. The one thing I'll call out that I'm not connecting with very well is I think it's a little clunky control wise.
It almost looks like Hotline Miami a little bit just from this trailer I'm seeing on Steam in terms of like how you. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's an interesting idea, Johnny.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's very unique perspective you got there.
Shut up, Chase. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I'm assuming you said that while I was watching the trailer for this game.
Yes. Okay,
cool. But yes, you're very right. It does have that vibe to it. The one thing I have not experienced that we had teased is it's supposed to have like a crafting. And I was reading some of the Steam reviews because it seems like some people are a little upset with 1.0 and compared to early access. Like there's some new story beats that happen. But I think some of the crafting's been tweaked from early access. I don't quite know if that's here. I'm like an hour and 20 minutes into the game so far. But I really think there's some cool stuff happening. I like the combat that you're doing with your ship.
When you say tweaked, like tweaked in what way? Like you haven't seen crafting? It's not there?
No, I have mod kits that I've installed on my weapons. I'm getting resources that are used for those mods, but I have not had anything where it's like, go and build this yet. Like I did put money into and resources into I came across an island that had been torn up and there's like, I just opened up a shop there. So like I put the stuff in to like have a shop get built by having the things. But I also saw there's a vendor that's selling what looks like household items like beds and desks. So I think there's probably going to be something, but I certainly haven't seen it yet.
I mean, if you're telling me they might have taken out the crafting of this game, then I might actually want to play it.
Well, put it on the list, Chase.
Chase is a fan now.
I'm having a pretty good time with it so far. The controls are a little rough. I think the story's fine. It feels... I say this as lovingly as possible, like a B tier game. It's like it is
those can
not
be great.
Yeah,
there are lots of really cool B tier games.
So that's Black Skylands again that came out of early access on August 15th. You can pick that up for $20 right now. I believe it's on Switch. I know it's on PC. I think it might be on other stuff. I'm not quite sure.
I think that's right. One last thing for me for Black Skylands that I just thought was really cool. Like it feels a little bit like Hotline Miami.
Jesus fucking Christ. I'm ending this.
You heard of that? It's pretty good.
Another game that if you are already tuned into what we do here at the Casual Hour, you might know what I'm going to talk about. A game called Thronefall. You can check out the quick look that Chase and I put up for this video game today. Thronefall is in early access as effective of August 2nd. This is made by Grizzly Games. It's a two-man team, I believe. They are being pretty transparent about if there is people interested in what they're doing, they will pick this thing up and run with it a bit further. This game will set you back $6.99, and I gotta tell you, it's really fucking cool, and it's getting all kinds of buzz on the internet right now. A lot of review sites are picking it up, talking about it. It's an overwhelmingly positive on Steam. It's a beautiful, this absolutely gorgeous art style for an
art. What art style reminds me of?
Don't say Hotline it. Miami.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Sable, a little bit of Sable.
This looks incredible.
It's very, very cool.
It really does. It's this interesting combination. Bobby was showing me the quick look, or I was on the quick look with Bobby showing off the game, and it's kind of this unique feeling mix of RTS games, but also tower defense, where you are like you are moving around your main character. I mean, it's a little bit like Brutal Legend, where like you're building the towers to do tower defense stuff, but then you are also controlling a single character. Although like the character you're not actually doing. I mean, you have some active abilities, Chase. But it's also a little.
Can I talk about it?
You want to say it? Okay, why don't you go say it?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about it.
I'll destroy this bot in the chat.
Thank you.
You talk about your video.
I know Chase is excited about it, but I'd love to talk to y'all about it too. It's a game that you are controlling different armies that you're unlocking. You have a coffer that you're getting coins via two things. One, by killing enemies, but you are balancing your strategic mindset as well as your economic mindset. So if you build houses, they can be upgraded, and if they survive the night, they produce your income. If you are building out your armory, you can pick from different units that you've unlocked, some that have spears, some that are knights, some that are bowmen. You're also building towers that allow you to enhance those, and you can start to build choke points where at night you have hordes and waves that lead up to boss battles. But the economy seems pretty fair, and if you don't balance that aspect of it correctly, you're not going to have enough resources to build your defenses up. I've heard that it gets a little challenging near the end, but they pride themselves on making games that are bite-sized and offer quick playthroughs with high replayability and like high score chasing. So there's some cool stuff there for sure. But I've found it to be an absolute joy to play. It plays great with a controller. We had some comments on some of our videos today asking if it would come to console. I haven't seen anything talk about that yet from the developers, but I've found it to be really awesome.
Are you playing this on your Ally?
I am. And I've played it on my PC, but I've played it mostly handheld, as it feels like one of those for sure.
I don't see why it couldn't come to consoles.
Totally.
It does seem to be from a, you know, relatively small developer. So I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they are busy trying to like make the game and not worried about making a console port. But at the same time, nothing that you showed me in the quick look seems like, oh, you need to be able to have like the speed of a mouse to do these things. Cause you still have to actually walk up to the tower to upgrade it. Right. It's not like you can, totally, have your guy in one spot and then click around on other places.
If you ever played any of the Kingdom games, I know they have the new one that we talked about, Kingdom 80s, but the coin upgrades are very similar. I personally feel this could be a mobile game. You interact with it. It's an auto shooter, and you're just moving your character around.
It gives him Kingdom Rush vibes a little bit, too.
Chase called that out on the show for sure.
I mean, in that game, you do have relative direct control over a single unit, but it is still kind of, I am choosing where that thing goes, and then it does its own thing. Whereas this one, you have a little bit more direct control. So it is kind of like, hey, I'm playing Vampire Survivors over here, but then sometimes you can make the towers better so they can automatically attack. And it seems like a really nice mix. I ended up buying it as Bobby was showing it to me on the quick look.
I saw that you have it in your library. Chase actually bought a game for his computer.
That's true. I was pretty sold.
It plays on Mac too, I think. And I think that you can get it on itch also. Johnny, I think this is one that you definitely need to check out this year. Not that we'll talk about it too much.
You sent me a video of it.
I did.
A few days ago.
Yeah, it's very good.
It looks like my shit. For sure.
That's Thronefall again. It's out on early access. Yeah. $7. I think it's very fair for what you're getting there. They've been very communicative as well. There's another, I'm going to have to look it up. There's another Grizzly Games. Oh, Islanders. Chase, remember that one?
I do. It was okay.
Same people. Okay. That made that. So that's Thronefall, and that is Black Skylands. I would be lying if I told you all that the thing I've been spending most of my waking moments in outside of work is Baldur's Gate 3. I'm sure Johnny will have an update.
What a coincidence, Bobby.
Yeah, I know. The game that killed Street Fighter. Do you want to start with that?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So I think I'm nearing the end of Act 1, I think.
You are.
Okay. And it's just, I don't know about you, Bobby, but this game just keeps getting better and better the more I play it. And it's man, I can't believe how good this game is. And I feel like I said that last week. But it doesn't stop. And what were you going to say?
Chase had mentioned a while back on here about, like, sometimes if there's a game that is just getting spoken about in multiple forms and things like that, that, like, it makes you kind of, like, perk your ear up a little bit and, like, not necessarily disagree, but need to be proved. Like, you have to work harder on those games or something to that degree.
Yeah.
And I think with this one, it's one of the few times where I feel all the praise it's getting is valid and warranted.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. And like, I mean, you know, Baldur's Gate itself is a beloved, you know, people love those first two games. So they had every opportunity to do it wrong. And they just, from, you know, the characters and the writing and the combat, how it's one of those games that it's like, I wonder if I do this, if it'll work. And even when it doesn't, when it goes catastrophically wrong, you're like, that was fucking awesome. It is, you know, like it's the D&D experience on your PC.
The level that we played on part one of Balderdash, where you're trying to get into the dank crypt and they have the gap in the ceiling where you could shoot down the weight. And that's like the first time I think the game's teaching you, like, hey, interact with your environment. It's very apparent. You have to, like, Looney Tunes your way with it.
In my game, my whole party walked across it and it collapsed and fell into the room.
So I sent you the TikTok of the guy that had a druid in his party that was still in the wild shape of a bear. Yes. And he's just walking, and all of a sudden you see, like, just a cartoon. It just goes through because the bear was the right weight to break the puzzle. Like, your whole party was the right weight to break the puzzle. But it's those situations that there's been so many, like, catch you off guard. And I think for you and I not having much experience with Dungeons and Dragons, going into this and knowing that there's things that people intentionally do on campaigns to try and break the rules. Like, I didn't realize that, like, that stuff happens.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I was like, I was just kind of playing it like a straight RPG. Like, I, you know, I wasn't poking the systems really to see what I could do until I got a little bit further into it. And also, like, looking at things on TikTok and YouTube, and people be like, hey, by the way, here's some crazy shit that you can do in this game, and it totally works. Like, I saw someone put a bunch of items into different chests, and then they used something to knock those chests off of a ledge, and they fell on top of enemies and just did ungodly damage.
You remember the memes for Barbenheimer?
Uh-huh.
Where it would be like half the poster would be Barbie, half would be Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would do that, and for the Barbie side, I would write Act 1, and then for the Oppenheimer side, I would write Act 2. It is a 180 emotionally when you get to that second act on the things you're encountering and what you're dealing with.
All right. I mean, because it's, you know, it's pretty bleak, some of the stuff that's happening.
I would say I'm maybe like halfway through Act 2 at this point. I just got my first legendary weapon, which I'm really pumped about.
Awesome.
It's very cool.
I the last time I played, I got to like a checkpoint when you're trying to leave this one area, and I didn't realize, because it is in the game, it's written this way, it's like this big surprise attack, but I hadn't healed or rested or anything since I got there, and shit went bad in a way, but it wasn't like they gave me a game over.
Well, you're in Act 2.
Am I?
Yeah. Act 2 is when you either... There's two ways to get there, the mountain pass or through the
Green Forge. I don't remember it saying like Act 2.
It doesn't. It didn't pop up and say Act 1 either, but you're in Act 2.
So, the outcome of it, like you can just keep playing. Like it doesn't hit you with a fail screen. It's just like, okay, well, this happened, and so now you have to deal with it.
There's things that happen that like you could have been without your doing. Somebody could have gone and knocked out an NPC that is critical for storylines in that game that you will not get to do any of that.
Yeah.
They don't pass it off to somebody else. It's done. Over. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's an incredible game. It is like,
I did not have it on. I think that Baldur's Gate 3 would even be in my top 10 this year.
I was excited for it. Yeah. But I wasn't expecting it to captivate me the way that it has. And I'm feeling things about the party members I haven't felt since Mass Effect.
Yep.
It seems odd to me that to hear you both say like, oh, I'm so surprised by this game, because it was in early access for an extremely long time. Like I
know neither
of you guys really were engaging with it, but I can extrapolate out to, I feel like a lot of people are going like, wow, this game came out of nowhere and it's so great. I'm like,
I mean,
it's been in early access. People have been talking about this game for a very long time. It shouldn't be surprising that it's good.
The full experience until
they didn't even add in a lot of the classes and characters until 1.0. And what I can tell you is that first time I played it, because I got it right when it hit early access. Yeah. Because it was pretty controversial, because they launched this thing for $60 at the time for early access. And that first opening segment was significantly bigger than what it is in the actual final game. And at that point in time, I'm like, hey, there's something here. But I know that I knew, based off of what I knew about Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2, this is a big thing. And at that point in time, I hadn't had my computer very long, and I was really just kind of dipping my toe into early access. And I was understanding that, hey, you can burn yourself out. And secondly, you will likely not have a compatible save. I was finding that out the hard way through forums and stuff about it. So I personally just said, I know I'm going to like this. I know I'm happy I have it, but I'm
going to back off.
I'm going to back off. Cook. Yeah, totally.
And wait for the final product. And
yeah, no. I'm not disparaging you guys here saying like, oh, how didn't you know? But I think it's more of like I guess for me, it's like when somebody goes like, wow, Elden Ring was so good. I'm so blown away by Elden Ring. It's like people have loved From Software games for a very long time. People like Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2.
Elden Ring is stands very apart from...
Yeah.
Bobby Pease put 20 hours in Elden
Ring. Yeah. Sure, but also Bobby Pease knows that he didn't like those other FromSoft games. Sure. So that is surprising in that way. But for somebody who likes FromSoft games to come in and go like, wow, I'm surprised how much I like Elden Ring. It seems very similar to, I played Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2, and somehow I really like Baldur's Gate. Like, no shit.
I think this is, I mean, I'm going to reference.
Better than Divinity. In my opinion,
I think so too. This actually reminds me a lot.
Probably they've had a lot of time to work on it.
The way that I interact with it, I would say it's like the love that you would have for your party in Mass Effect 1 and 2 and 3 meets the way that everything kind of comes together in like a KOTOR and KOTOR 2. It feels and plays a lot more like a KOTOR in my opinion than I'm getting strong KOTOR vibes playing this.
Yeah,
and that's both BioWare. So like, I could see that also.
And those are both based on D&D. Like that's KOTOR absolutely is pulling from a D&D rule set. So a lot of that makes sense that they would play in similar ways.
Yeah,
for sure.
So any Bobby, anything else for?
I want to land the plane again on the subject. It's wildly exceeding any expectations I had for it.
Yeah.
And we talked about games surprising you and how hard that is to have happen. And I talked about Dave the Diver earlier this year, kind of coming out of nowhere, but I knew people were excited about this one. I was curious about it and I quickly became one of the excited people. And I can't wait for you to get back and for me to get back and really get, because I love the characters that we have in our playthrough. And I think that's my biggest thing is like, I wish I was playing with those characters just as much as my current party.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then I bought the Phoenix Wright trilogy last year.
Okay.
And random. I played through the first episode of that.
How is it?
A couple nights ago. It's great.
Nice.
It's fucking great. It's yeah.
You're a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
The first case, isn't it like a baseball glove is involved?
So okay. This is like the tutorial trial, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a murder case and it is a visual novel style thing. I know Chase is probably aware of this. I don't know how familiar Bobby is with it.
I've heard a lot of people say, and I agree that it is one of the more accessible. If you want to get into the visual novel genre, but you want a game that is like a good gateway, that still Phoenix feels kind of like a game, Phoenix Wright is a fantastic.
Yeah, genre. Because you know, you're in the courtroom, and he's the. Phoenix is this rookie attorney. His boss is there with him to kind of like co-counsel. And the way that it works so far, you have you see the crime happen. You know who's guilty. And then it is your job as Phoenix to prove their guilt. And so you have evidence that you can look at. And then while they're talking, you can interject and ask them to clarify, get them to trip up. And find contradictions in their testimony, what they're saying versus, the power was out between this hour and this hour. So how could you possibly have talked to someone on the phone at this hour? Like you said, and it's really good. Like I've only played it for,
what are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on my Steam Deck.
Oh, nice.
It's in my Steam library. It's on sale for like $10 right now on Switch and Steam. So I don't know. I'm glad I finally played one of these and it did enough for me that I think I'm probably going to keep checking it out. Cause Chase and I have talked about it a couple times, like, mm-hmm. Hey, we should really play these Phoenix Wright games. And I was laying in bed one night. I was like, man, I've had this installed in here forever. And let's check this out before I go to bed. And it was nice. I really liked it.
Yeah, I played like the tiniest bit of the first game on the DS, and that's why I thought that first case had something to do with a baseball glove, because I thought it was something like, or maybe it's like the second case you do. I didn't play too much of it, but there is something like, oh, you know, you're left-handed, but this is a right-handed fielding mm-hmm. baseball glove, like that doesn't make any sense, and so you like that is one of those kind of contradictions that somebody would say, like, oh, I was playing baseball in the park,
and yeah,
and of course the objection, and then you can
it's look so good your, I did that your a couple times, and
you
go,
here's like, this fuck. Baseball glove, it's clearly not made for you, what the it's fuck?
Great it's great yeah. I really like it. I'm definitely gonna play some more of it. And that, aside from Street Fighter, is what I've been playing.
Nice. You guys want to dip into the news or just wrap it up here?
No, we got a lot of news stories here. Let's talk about some news.
We got two.
Oh, okay. We significantly cut back the news. Oh,
yes, we did.
That also works.
Let's get through these. Okay. So shall I?
Go for it, man.
So today I saw on Twitter and Reddit that Microsoft is officially ending support for buying 360 games next year. And this is just going to
the 360.
On the 360.
Yeah.
And you'll still be able to buy backwards compatible games, but I think there's something like 220 titles that
it's time.
Haven't.
There are a ton of games that, yes, absolutely did not get backwards mm-hmm. compatible versions for Xbox One or Xbox Series consoles. And those games, at least the digital versions, are just going to disappear.
Going away.
Which, you know, Bobby said it's time. And, you know, it's been a very long time. You've had opportunities to buy those games if you want. I still think there is a preservation sadness here of some of those games are just going to get lost. There's going to be disc rot for versions of those games that were available physically. And then those games will be gone in some way. It sucks. And for a company like Microsoft that is so large and has so much money, it feels like that should be something that should stick around. Now, they've also said that the multiplayer for a lot of these games, or for all of these games, is still going to be up. You're still going to be able to play these things online on your 360. And so, again, it's like they're not completely shutting down 360 services, but part of it they are, which I guess saves them some server space for whatever sure. they're doing. But I don't know. It's still sad. There are certainly games out there that would be great if you could buy again. And
the 360 is just, I think, very important in all of our lives. And so for to see it finally winding down parts of it.
Yeah. The big ones, I don't know everything that's on the 360. I don't know what's available in back compat versus what's not, but the big ones I can think of are anything that's really licensed. Like I don't know how many Tony
Hawk games. What if I want to play Madden 05?
Oh, was that available digitally? I don't know. There are certainly some games that were available digitally on a 360 that would have never gotten a back compat version because nobody's repaying that licensing fee, and now it'll just be dead. And that's a bummer. But also I understand the business decision out of it, and it has been an extremely long time. And also this is not happening tomorrow. This service is ending July of 2024. So I'm sure, similar to what happened with the 3DS, there's going to be a ton of YouTube videos and a ton of posts that you can find that go, these are the essential games that you need to buy for your 360 before it all goes away. So they're giving you basically a year to round out your collection.
Yeah, get what you want. Totally. Diablo 4, that game,
I've heard of it.
Bobby and I both kind of fell off of it pretty hard. I didn't even finish the main story.
I mean, finishing video games, it's nothing new. I don't think that's a barometer of anything.
Well, sure. But Bobby also hasn't even touched the season since it launched, right?
Yeah, so, I beat it. And I haven't touched the season, which I paid for with the deluxe version that gets you stuff on it. But I think notably here, you'll share some data that's pretty telling, even though that was supposed to be what drew people back in, you know, new character, new season, all the things. Mm-hmm. What's the data saying?
The player count dropped from over 1 million at the end of July to 400,000 over the last 30 days, which, granted, that is a significantly larger number than most online games have. So it's not exactly, dying, I guess.
And it's not like there haven't been amazing other games for people to go to. You guys were just talking about Baldur's Gate. I imagine that the people who like Baldur's Gate Circle and the people who like Diablo Circle are
pretty close.
Solid Venn diagram right there.
Yeah, its viewership has also dropped steeply on Twitch. From 941,000 in June to 34,000 in August so far. So, I mean, and it happens, you know, it ebbs and flows, but I think the quote-unquote narrative around Diablo is,
they've acknowledged that they fucked up.
Yeah,
they put out a bad streams where they've come out and said, we've learned our lesson, we'll never do that. And the problem is, what you'll never do again is the thing that's happening right now. So people are really not happy about it.
Yeah.
I think that it was a lot of promise. It's up there for me for biggest disappointments. I started to feel that way. You can go back and listen on the show. After I hit level 30, it really kind of felt like
it turned into such an unfun slog.
Yeah, it really did. 1 through 20, though, really awesome. Great time. But after that,
I will say, as a Destiny, to all my Diablo 4 fans out there, welcome.
First time.
Bring it in. First time. Bring it in. I'll get you a t-shirt.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just a bummer because I the game looks incredible, and it was really fun for.
Yeah, I get it, man.
Period of time.
I'm right there with you, but when one door closes, the warm embrace of a combustion heart is there to be beside you. So, thank you, Baldur's Gate. Johnny, thanks for taking us through those stories. We've had quite the week of recording here. As we called out earlier, our week's a little bit different. You can follow along with all the fun stuff right there in chat. But this past week, Chase and I got together and went back to Mario and Rabbids DLC. We enjoyed that quite a bit. Speaking of things we enjoyed, we put a quick look up of Venba. You can check that out right now. That is a wonderful video game. Wednesday night was our deep dive into the Video Game of the Year book from Jordan Miner. And then on Thursday, which is today, you got a quick look of Thronefall. And you got episode 339 of the Casual Hour. And tomorrow night, we keep improving. No Johnny on a Casual Friday, but Jiggy. And we're going to be getting Jiggy with
and
it.
Chase.
And fuck, Chase. And Chase, of course, because there would be no Jiggy without Chase.
That's not true. You could totally play a game with Jiggy without me.
I mean, we wouldn't know Jiggy without
yeah,
you.
That's
true. Yeah. I mean, you are allowed to play video games with my friends, even if I'm not there.
I know how you like to break your own rules. We'll see how that really holds up whenever I do
it. I'm also happy to be there to play with both of you.
Yeah, we're going to check out Risk of Rain 2, a game that Chase and I have had a lot of fun playing together on stream. But Jiggy made a mention about that, and we said, you know what, Jiggy, get over here. We want to hang out with you. So that's going to happen on Friday. And then next week, we will not be live, but you will have two quick looks to tune into. And if you are one of our audio listeners, well, you found our episode that went up on Friday. So congratulations. Chase, you are a busy man. What are you busy with?
Reading a book.
It's very, very Johnny thing.
Yeah, you'd have to go all the way back to our New Year's resolution episode in January, but I said I was going to read Romance of the Three Kingdoms or finish Romance of the Three Kingdoms. And I've only got like 11 or 12 chapters left to go. So
very nice.
It's happening. It's happening. Other than that, though, sorry, Johnny, what?
Says you're making progress, buddy.
Absolutely. Other than that, though, I am also we mentioned Backlog Roulette. I'm working on playing through more of Famicom Detective Club, and I'll have an article about that and AI the Somnium Files at the end of this month, or more likely the start of next month. But if you are interested in seeing previous games that I've written about for my Backlog Roulette, like Gunpoint, which was last month, I wrote an article about that. You can find that at gamersonthego.com. That game's real good, and it was real fun writing about it. You can check out the other games that I've written for that as well. So go check that out.
Well, this has been a ton of fun. Thank you both for making the episodes work this week. I know that we are going through quite a bit, trying to get stuff ready for Johnny and I being away for a bit. So thank you both for making it happen. And we are looking forward to being live tomorrow night for a unique take on Casual Fridays with our friend Jiggy. So we'll see you all then. Take care.
Bye.